stand, if you will. Just bow our heads and open to the service. Glorious Heavenly Father, oh God, another opportunity. Lord, we've walked more days, Lord, here on this earth. Lord, you can give us another opportunity to gather together. Father, may we use it to measure ourselves by your word. Lord, even the last few days since Sunday, Lord, we've interacted with people, dealt with situations. Lord, had different cares of life weighing us down. Father, we handled everything according to your word. Lord, we made you proud of us. Lord, as you was in Job. Father, can you say the same things about us? Lord, I pray, Father, this late hour. Lord, the rapture is so close. I pray, Father, that you allow us to, Lord, reveal your word to us. May we judge ourselves righteously. Lord, anything we see, Father, may you strengthen us and encourage us tonight. Reveal yourself to us in a greater way. Lord, time is so far spent. Lord, looking forward to the day to go home and be with you. Bless us now, each and every one, Lord. Father, to those that are watching in, Lord, I pray that you just go down wherever they're at, and they're here amongst us. And just visit with us and bless us, I pray. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Wonderful to be out tonight, saints. Turn on our Only Believe, page 308.
The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Oh, roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been.
Forget what he's done for us, saints. Praise his name. In our capstone books. Praise his name. Page 91. Amen. Just a little while. Soon it'll all be over, saints.
Soon this life will all be over.
It ain't gonna be long. We'll be there. Praise his name. Page 1, same book there. Singing in the Promised Land. Amen.
Walking in the land of story, home to the Savior's hand. Living in the realms of glory, over in the Promised Land. I want to sit right down at my Savior's feet and hold to his never-starred hand. Sing and shout for a million years, over in the Promised Land. And it's all.
Thank you. pours only to me.
Ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
Here. Amen. I'm happy and thankful for the opportunity to come and to feel His precious Holy Spirit anointing here with us. Amen. As we bow our heads, precious Lord, it's so refreshing to come in underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord, with saints of like precious faith. And Lord, to shut the world outside and just to be here with You, Father, for a time we've set aside. And we just come tonight, Lord, asking You to speak to our hearts. And Lord, though the words we rehearse we may have heard, Lord, it may seem simple, but Lord, if we'll just let it build into our hearts, Lord, somewhere You will have a work for it. And Father, we just ask that we yield ourselves to You and ask You, Lord, to dip a greater revelation and simplicity of Your word into our hearts. And Father, that we would be a people that truly would take You at Your word. And Father, we ask it all to Your glory and to Your honor. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. He is so wonderful. While you're standing, if you would, we'll turn our Bibles over to Hebrews, to the 4th chapter, read a verse of Scripture this evening. Amen. Just, it's what the Lord laid on my heart. It may seem extremely simple, but I pray we keep in mind what our pastor has been bringing to our remembrance and what the Holy Spirit is renewing our hearts to. And just bear in mind that little scripture, greater is He that's in you than he that's in all the world. And oh my, as we dwell upon these things, what a mighty God we serve. Amen. But in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and begin here at the 12th verse. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. May the Lord bless you in His word. You may be seated. Maybe taking that scripture a little different direction than sometimes is it's used, but to think about the how great it really is. Paul was expressing that, but just think of that 14th, as he gets down there to the 13th verse. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are open and naked before Him, unto the eyes of Him which we have to do. So, you know, think about that. God is ever mindful of where we are and what we're facing and the time and place we're in. And you know, as we've gathered in here this evening, our pastor has been bringing, you know, as he started a while back with this, speaking on faith, but realizing that faith has got to be built up and what it's doing in our hearts and our lives and the place it's bringing us to for a change of these bodies. Oh my, what a joy it ought to be bringing into our hearts to see the simplicity of God and the people are looking for God still today. People are going to church. They're looking at all kinds of things. They're looking at people clapping and dancing and jumping. They see all kinds of manners of different things going on in church. And they're going looking for God. But God sent a prophet to point him out to us. Yes. You know, we've never met, as Brother Branham explained it, if nobody ever introduced us, you wouldn't know who I was. But God sent a prophet to introduce himself and to show forth who he was in this last age and to show where he was standing and who he is and what his attributes are, all of his characteristics, and all that he was going to do. And by God's grace, a people have caught a hold of that, especially a little elected lady all over this earth. Her eyes has been opened to the reality. We're just not churchgoers. God just didn't send a prophet, but there was a message that came. Get ready, I'm coming again. Amen. And as I think of that, I think of how many people are going to church day in, day out, all over this land. And a lot of them believe there's going to be a rapture. A lot of them believe and tell you that's going to happen. But none of them are looking for it. They're not expecting it. Their lives show forth and planning for the future. I got to get ready for my retirement. It's coming. I got to get ready for this. I got to get ready for that. Their eyes are not focused. But you know, when you get down and you see that you need something and it focuses you in, whether you need a healing, maybe your body is broken down. And we're going to read some examples in the scriptures. Might be your body. It might be something else physically you need. It might be financially. It might be whatever. But when a person gets to the point or a state that that's all that they can see is this need that's in their life, it will drive them to get that thing. And you know, as we think about that, I'd like to go back here, turn over to Luke 19, and we're going to read some examples in the scriptures just to refresh your mind. And I want you to just think about these tonight. As you know, the prophet told us many times, go back and compare yourselves. Now, the thing of it is, as we read these, we're going to, in Luke 19, it's very familiar, we're going to talk about Zacchaeus just for a minute. But do we just think about it as a story? You know, you can, it's been, as we grew up, you're listening to a Bible story about Zacchaeus. And oftentimes you read it so many times, yep, that's about Zacchaeus. But these was real people, just like you and I, facing a place and time in their life that they were looking for something that they needed. And they saw something that was out there that they had heard about, something that had sparked their interest. There's something more to this. And just think about this. As we just read here, Brother Branham dramatized this many times, but we're just going to read it the way Jesus spoke it, or as it was written as it happened. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Now listen, he was rich. He had need of nothing. Think about it. In the natural, he had money. And money buys everything that you physically need or want in this life. It provides for you. And so he's rich. And as we read in Revelation, that you, this Laodicean age is rich, has need of nothing. Yeah, he was rich. Think about it. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. You just think about this. He could have bought a ladder. He could have paid somebody to pick him up and set him up in the tree. If there was something in him that was driving him at this point. There was something out there ahead of him that he just knew he had to see for himself. It was pulling. It was a pressure in him. He couldn't help himself. There's no reason. Just think today of the people that would still, even if something was needed, you know, you're not going to climb a tree. Just keep this in mind. Brother Branham, I'm going to read a quote Brother Branham made in a little bit, but just bear this in mind, that press was in him enough to go out there and get up a tree. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he come down, and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he is gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore to him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is to come to seek and to save that which was lost. And oh, just think about that. Yeah. But think about the drive that was in him. Just, you know, he didn't care at this point. He didn't care what people thought about him at that point. You know, it's just nature of human beings. You know, don't try to honeycomb it. You can tell when someone's got a lot of money and people know it. They seem to have a lot of friends that just want to hang around and try to help them out here and there. It's just human nature. And so you can imagine Zacchaeus in the state he was in. He probably had some pretty highfalutin friends. But he didn't care. There was something greater that had caught his attention, that drove him to go out there and climb up in a tree. He didn't care. The obstacle wasn't too great. He didn't care. You know, when Brother Branham talked about, he might have had to drag that old trash can, that old smelly trash can over there and climb up on top of it. He didn't care what people seen him doing. Something was telling him he had to see Jesus for who he was. There was something about it that was pulling him. And look what it did for him. He was predestinated to be a seed. Amen. And look where his life came forth. Mm-hmm. Let's turn over here to Mark, the 7th chapter, if you would. Just catch a couple things here. Hey, man, I know you know these things, but it's just so good to go back and refresh our minds. Amen. Mark 7. There it is. Hey, man, I put the sticker in the wrong spot. But Mark 7th chapter. And let's start here about the 24th verse. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce that, but she was of a Syrian nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. And how we've emphasized on it so much, but think how hurtful that was to her. And we come into this here sometimes, we come in here, we may go somewhere, we sit under the word, and sometimes it may seem like it's hurtful. Boy, he's really telling me just the word is pointing out exactly where I'm wrong. Think of that. Jesus, he is the Word today. Think about it. In the beginning was the Word was with God. The Word was pointing it out. Jesus was a body that was standing there, but it was the Word of God that was pointing out and telling her this, at that time talking to her. And think how she must have felt looking at him. She come to him for help. She had seen all he had done for everyone else. She seen what was taking place and the people that was healed and the things that could be done. And she come asking for the same thing. And he turns around and calls her a dog. But yet it didn't deter. There was something in her. She knew what she needed was standing in front of her. Think about it. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. So think about the determination that was laying in her. Something was pushing her. She didn't care. If all she got was the crumb, it was enough. That's all she was going to take. And when you look what the promises that are laying in this Bible, if all I can get is a crumb, I want the crumb I can get. Each and every time I come through that door. You know, sometimes you come in, maybe that's not the sermon I wanted to hear. Maybe that's not what I think should have been preached. But if I can but get a crumb that's falling from my master's table, I want that crumb. Because that alone is enough to sustain life and to keep me and to hold me and to provide for me through this life. It's his provided channel. Amen. But do we look at it like that, or do we get to that place to where we've lost focus? We're just coming to church. It's time to go. It's church. Brother Steve's going to preach. Brother Tim may preach. Somebody's going to preach, and we're going to 30 minutes, and we're out of there. But God's word is laying here. God in spirit form is here to deal with our hearts. The Holy Spirit is walking up and down the aisles. He's not dead. He's not gone. He's alive the same today as he was yesterday and shall be forever. And he's in our midst. Greater is he that's in you. And by God's grace, I know he's in me. I hope you can see, you can start to say the same thing. And if we did, if we've come together and brought all of our little licks of fire together, what can God do in our midst if we truly keep our attention focused on him? Amen. Think about it. Amen. But is that our pressure? Do I come through that door knowing, Lord, this is your provided channel. You told me there was going to be a rapture. You told me there's going to be a body change. You told me that I would have faith to change in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. And if I see that I don't have that, then where is it laying? Where did he put it? Where did he place it? In his word. And what's his provided channel? Right here in the simplicity and the foolishness of preaching, men's souls would be saved. And his plan would be fulfilled. And by God's grace, when that door opens, I don't come here to be seen. I don't come here to hear just our pastor speak, but I come to meet the Lord and to see what he's got for me today.
Amen.
Because one time I heard it preached, repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I was a partaker of that, and God kept his word. And then I heard him say, by my stripes you're healed. Stand on it and claim it. And by God's grace it will be so. And I've taken in God at his word and seen him heal this body. And today I can stand here as a representative and as a witness and say, I know God is real and backs up every word in that Bible.
Yes.
Me personally. That's to you personally. It's got an individual affair. And what's that doing? It's building the faith in you. And the faith in me that's going to continue to go, that as we obey this word and the word keeps coming and it keeps coming and we don't hold, let nothing distract us, but hold tight to it. One of these days, this whole body of clay is going to fall off. Amen. The real me is going to shine forth. Hallelujah. You're going to see me as he sees me.
Amen.
The way we let the reality of it get deep into our hearts. We've heard it preached and we've heard it preached and we've went to church and we've went to church. And you say, well, what makes the difference? It's going to be now. We've been hearing this all of our life. Why? It's going to happen. Noah preached for 120 years, but it happened. The day came that the rains fell. It is coming. You can't just push it off and say, oh, it's going to be down the road. We got this much more time. They thought that too. They thought it would never happen, but it did. And they were caught unawares. But oh, may we not be a people that sleeps or slumbers. We're children of the light. We've been given the opportunity to say, I'm watching for that day.
Amen.
I'm looking for the change of this body, and I'm waiting for it. Amen.
Yes.
May it burn in our hearts. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's go over here to Mark, the fifth chapter.
Amen.
Mark 5:22-34. And two different circumstances here. Just, and I'm not going to expound very long on this, but it just kind of caught me as I was reading this. But think of this in Mark 5:22, and he says, and behold, there come one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. So I want you to think about Jairus here. He had saw all that had happened. He had seen Jesus lay his hands on people. He had seen it taking place. He had seen the miracles. And he knew that if he would just but lay his hands on her, it was enough. But now I want you to watch the rest of this. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus and came in the press behind him, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Think about it. Amen. Her faith was, I don't need him to lay my hands on. If I can just touch him, if I can just get that crumb, it'll be enough. If I can just get that. And when she had heard, Jesus came in the press behind him, touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, and turned him about in the press, and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to think about that and just let it run through your heart.
Hallelujah.
They had a need. Each one of these had a different circumstance. But they knew what they were trying to get to. They saw what they needed.
Yes.
Nothing could stand in the way. You don't know what that little lady had to go through all those people. You see these crowds. And think about getting in a big crowd and how hard it is to move. And people get to shoulder and pushing and shoving and trying to get to a certain point. You can only imagine how hard it was for her to get just to be able to touch his clothes. But she made it. Amen.
Yes.
And oftentimes, I wonder How much do we want to press to get what's laying here for us? We can see it. It's laying here. We see what God has promised, the promises that are laying in this Bible. But are we letting some tradition of past ministry, past teachings, past doctrines that we've come up through hinder us from turning loose and reaching forth to Jesus Christ, who is the Word, and let Him do the work that's needed in our life? You know, it's so easy for us to get to trusting in a man's hand, because that's all we've seen all of our life. We've seen pastor after pastor, the Holy Spirit leading and guiding, working a man and lay his hands on somebody and watch him get healed. And that's wonderful. God works like that. But we're coming to a place to where this faith has got to be built up in us. Amen. A faith that's holding us as individuals, no matter what we face. Think of Paul and Silas in a jail, beaten, trodden down. Were they laying there complaining and murmuring? No, at midnight they begin to sing. Amen. Think about what God, the reality in a person's heart and life. Paul could say, I fought the good fight, lay down and have his head chopped off. No fear, no worry, nothing to complain about, nothing to care. Where are we a people, individuals, each one of us? We're coming through life. We're in different stages, different ages, different phases of life, different things facing us. But each one of us has got to come to that place where our works show forth. Yes, that the revelation that's in my heart is bearing forth. Yes. That word has took root and anchored in my life. Amen. By your works, grace is what God done for you. Works is what we do in appreciation.
Yes.
Think what, how it shows forth. Abel, being dead, yet still speaketh because of the testimony his life bore forth.
Yes.
The word was vindicated. It manifested itself. And oh my, there wasn't no doubt. Amen. And think of each one of these people as they reached that place of striving. And they were looking. And you can go back into the Old Testament and find many examples where people looking for something from God, and any different examples, they were searching and they knew where that was. There was nothing going to stop them once it anchored in their heart to get there. You say, well, he's different today. No, he's not. Brother Branham in the message, this is in the message, Perseverant. It's just a story. We've all heard it. But there again, it's not a story. This was a real person. It was a real time and place. And something anchored in this little woman's heart. And I want you to think about it. Paragraph 170. And they let down a rope ladder on the back of the arena where I came in, like, and walked out to the platform, Billy Paul and a man I called Manna, which means tomorrow. He was always so slow to come and get me, and I said, just come tomorrow, you done ruined tonight. So he brought me over there and let me down, and I come out in on the platform, and Brother Jack Moore, many of you know him, just across here at Shreveport, he was with me, and Brother Esponza, and several other brethren. And then we were standing there on the platform, and Billy come. And I heard there's a great rail way out over there. There was thousands times thousands sitting in there. And just, I don't know how many of you have had the opportunity. I know we don't go to ball games and things, and that's where you see these pictures of these great crowds. But, you know, in my line of work, I do get to go to just like conferences where you've got 300-400 people in a room. And the noise is just almost overbearing, just people just talking in normal tones. And so you get that many people in a place like that, and if you get caught in the middle, it's pretty hard to even move. You're stuck, and those people are just all being in general form. So you can think of this as he's talking about thousands times thousands. And where's their attention? Focused to the platform. Nobody's looking behind him. Everybody's focused forward. It would not have been easy to get down through here. It wasn't an easy thing, but just to kind of set the stage so you get a picture a little greater maybe of what's happening. And it says, so thousands times thousands are sitting there, and Billy said, Daddy, you will have to do something. The little Spanish woman over here said she's got a dead baby in her arms and said that baby died this morning, they say early. And Manna give them out prayer cards and said he ain't got a prayer card, ain't got one. He said, and she is determined to bring that baby in the prayer line. So we've got about 400 there ready to be prayed for. So think of that, 400 more people already lined up in a prayer line. And said, just make her stay back. I said, well, just make her stay back, because if she gets ahead, that will start every one of them doing that. And I said, we can't do that. Tell her just get in line, maybe tomorrow. We're going to be here yet tomorrow. Give her a prayer card. And he said, you come over and try it. Said, I got 300 ushers there that can't even hold her. Said she won't weigh 90 pounds. Said you can't hold her. She runs between your legs, jumps over their shoulders, and anything with this dead baby. He's not telling that to be funny. He's showing you an example of something that's taking place here. She was serious. She knew she had already seen it vindicated, that he had healed others. She saw what was taken on that platform, and she knew that if she could but get there, her need could be met right there. And it was burning in her. It was a desperation that had struck her. And she said, he said, you come over here and try it. Brother Jack, she don't know me. She wouldn't know me from you. Go on down there and pray for that baby, and that'll settle it like that. And I said, baby dead? And he said, yes. And I was speaking on faith being the substance and the substance of things hoped for. And I was speaking. And just think of that as what he was actually preaching on. And Brother Esponza started speaking, and as I was speaking, Brother Jack started down to pray for the baby, and as I started to look, I looked out here in front of me, and there was a little Mexican baby, no teeth, it was so little, it was smiling, looking at me, a vision. And I said, wait a minute, Brother Jack, bring that baby here. And so they opened up the way, and here come the little woman with the prayer beads in her hands and falling on the floor and hollering, Padre. And I raised her up, and I said, don't. And she had a little blue and white striped blanket, a little stiff baby about that long laying in her arms. And I asked her when it died, and said it died in the doctor's office that morning about 9 o'clock. And this was about 9:30 or 10 o'clock that night, just soaking wet. She had been standing with her hair all down, pretty little woman. And she was probably her first baby, and she looked to be 25 years old or something. And I said, Brother Esponza, don't interpret this prayer because I just seen a vision of that little baby, a little baby out there laughing at me. It might be the baby. And I put my hands up on the little blanket and I said, Dear Heavenly Father, I don't know what the vision meant, but I seen a little baby. And if that baby, you're ready to call it back to life, I'll call for its life in the name of Jesus Christ. It let out a yell and kicked the blanket and began screaming. And he goes on to say the businessman's voice packed it not long ago. And let me drop down here. And he says, and the doctor signed an affidavit, saying the baby had died with double pneumonia, but in the morning at 9 o'clock, it had no can't get it out. And its heart was gone, had been dead and stiff. And there that little woman was. Why? Because she was persistent. Nothing was going to stop her. She was persistent and she was perseverant. Though her priest would have her put out for the church, certainly he would, no matter what happened. She happened to be looking at the fence a few nights before, and she had seen that old blind man receive his sight. And if God could give sight to the blind, he could raise the dead. And she had a need, and she was persistent. Like the little woman in the Bible, she got her desire because she was persistent. And I want you to think about that. This is we read it in here, Jesus meeting the need. He was there. He's all sufficient help in the time of need. He's there. We saw the example right there. We saw the example right here. And God working in his prophet, working through Jesus Christ. And today, it's that little bride here on this earth. Hallelujah. And Brother Branham said in the message, I'll get ahead of myself just a moment just to think about this. No, I won't. We'll wait. I'll read that last. Amen. But now I want you to think about something Brother Branham said here and just kind of let this gel into our hearts with this as we focus our attention to what God is trying to build us to a place to be able to see. His word is truth. Everything is said here in simplicity. Take him at his word. It's going to be just the way he said. And if we follow in all truth, Abraham, when he fully obeyed, the promise came forth. Think about the examples we've been given. And this is in the message, Broken Cisterns. This was preached July 26, 64. And this is paragraph 129. And Brother Branham speaking, just listen at the simplicity as he breaks this down. You've read it many times, but just let it think about it. I said at the breakfast, talking to the wife, and I said, Wife, you know, if Jesus was here, you know what he'd do? I said, when he responded to me, I believe that word. He's talking about a brother that needed to be prayed for. And he said he was sponsoring Christ, and I said, that's a trick of the devil. Said if Jesus was here, he'd go lay holy hands upon him, and that boy would get well. I don't care if his liver is bursted, he would get well, because Jesus would walk in there knowing exactly who he was. He knowed his calling. The scriptures is right, vindicating him that he knowed who he was. Not a shadow of a doubt. He'd lay his hands upon him and say, Son, be well. Walk out of there. And I said, there isn't enough devils in hell to kill that boy then. I said he would get well. But I said, you see, honey, he was Jesus, the holy hands of God. And he said, I'm a sinner. I was born a sensual birth. My father and mother were born sinners, and I'm just a no good nothing. And I said, but you know what? If the Lord would give me a vision and send me down there, then that would be different. And I said, I would go down and lay my hands on him, and he'd come out of that bed if he'd give me a vision. And then I got to thinking, after all, if it was the vision, what was it? It was the same dirty hands on him. The same man praying for him. The same dirty hands. And then I began to think, I am his representative. Remember, we're his hands, we're his feet, we're his mouth. We're not prophets. That's not our calling, but we're still God's representatives on this earth. Don't forget that. And then God doesn't see me. The blood of the righteous one lays up there on the altar, and it makes intercession for me. He is my sufficiency. He is my prayer. He is my life. Think about it. Amen. And I said, the only thing that made me put my hands on him with faith is because I had faith in the vision. And without the vision, though, the same faith would do the same thing. Amen. Think about God leading you by his Holy Spirit. There may not be a prophet here to lay hands on you and give you a vision. There may not be a prophet here to lead and guide you and tell you exactly which way to do this certain thing or do this thing. But he said, I will teach you. He sent the Comforter who will teach you and guide you into all truth. Whatsoever I've said unto you, bring it to our remembrance. He didn't leave us comfortless. Amen. He said he would come to us, and he did. He said, so I reckon myself nothing, but reckon him my all in all. He is my life. He is my commissioner. No denomination sent me. He sent me. Hallelujah. I go in his name. I'll lay my hands upon him. I'll walk down there, laid hands on that boy, and that night he was in the meeting, solid and well. Oh, yes, he is that fountain. No other fountain I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. I'm a stinker. I'm a renegade. Every one of us are. But before God, we are perfect. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. How can you be? Because the perfect one represents us there. Yes. The fountain is there every day, fresh. Not some stagnated something, but fresh every day that washes away all my sins. He is that fountain. Just think about it. Amen. And the inexhaustible fountain of the life is Jesus Christ. Why and who is he? The Word. The same Word, the life, the fountain, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And to the true believer, it's his supreme joy, his supreme life, and the supreme satisfaction is in Christ. No pumping, no pulling, no joining, no bailing, just believing and resting that what he is to the believing. Amen. And I want you to think about that. Brother Branham's gone. The prophet of this age is gone. And yes, mighty signs and wonders. But it wasn't Brother Branham that was doing the miracles. He was just God's representative at that time and place. God had a purpose for all of that that was happening. When God was here in the form of Jesus Christ, doing all that he was doing, that was his representative in a flesh body at that time, doing exactly everything to manifest that word and to bring it to pass. And today I want you to think, you are here. You have been called for a purpose. We have been sent here as a delegate from heaven, as a representative to finish this work and to let him have the preeminence in our lives, that every action would declare to this nation and to this people that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you can but once anchor in your soul that what he did for you and filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you remember what Brother Branham says right here, and you think about it. Amen. And you remember the scripture, greater is he that is in you than he that's in all the world. Amen. This is in Jehovah Jireh. You sisters can come to the instruments. Paragraph 76. He says, you know, it's like I said, a big arcade. For we're baptized into that arcade by one spirit. We're all baptized into one body, and that body is Christ, which is the royal seed of Abraham, heirs to everything that's in it. Amen. Everything that was in God, God poured into Christ. And everything that was in Christ, he poured into the believer. Amen. God above us, God with us, and God in us. Everything, every promise in the book is yours if you can believe it. If you have faith enough to accept it and believe it. And you know, I look around and listen to his example. He says, you know, I look around. And if I find something that's a little too high, I wonder what's in that. I'll get me a ladder and push it around and keep climbing till I get up to it. And that's the way of promise in the Bible. If anything seems like it's kind of mysterious to me, I just keep on praying till I reach it. That's all. That's the way to do it. Keep praying. Keep holding on and climbing up and believing until you're heir to it. You've got a promise to it. You've got a right to it. Ask and you shall receive, for all things are possible to them that believe. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I believe he promised me a rapture. He promised me a new body. He promised me that there would be a millennium. He promised me all the streets of gold and the walls of jasper. But all beyond that, look what he's promised me that he's given me in this life while I'm traveling through. Look at the promises that are laying there. And he's never failed to back up his word one time. But don't get your eyes focused on your brother, your sister, or your pastor, or your church. Keep your eyes on him. That's what they've seen. Jesus wasn't trying to look where the miracles was happening. They knew who he was. But look as it went on. Look at the prophet. Look who he was pointing to. Look who he was shining forth and showing us. I can't heal you. And Jesus Christ, if he stood here tonight, he can't heal you. He can't provide one more promise than he has already done, because he said it was finished in God's mind before this world was ever formed. And it has acted out its part here on this earth. And that precious blood of Jesus Christ is laying there for me and for every believer. And you're standing there clean before God as a holy, virtuous bride to him. And he said, you ask what you will and it shall be done. And maybe in this human body, we've got many things that tries to hinder our faith. We've got many things that try to beat us down. Satan is there all the time trying to steal your joy. He'll try to steal your peace. He'll try to steal everything you got. But those promises were paid for. And he's got no hold and no right on any one of you in any circumstance. And you think and say, "Where? Who is my comforter? Who is my staff? Who is my strength?" Jesus Christ, the Word. He is all that I need. And through him and by his Spirit, and the unction of the Holy One that he has given us, that inspiration of the Holy Spirit bringing that word and quickening that word to life in our hearts will bring these bodies under subjection to that word. And if I see and I look in God's mirror and I see that I can identify myself, I can ask what I will, because Jesus knew who he was. He knew he could ask. And oh my, you think about the prophet as he began to sit there and meditate on that. And he began to realize it's still the same hands. It's still the same body. This is not me. That's not what God sees. But oh, thank him for his blood that's laying there as a bumper. And he's looking down at that virtuous, sinless little bride tonight saying, oh, look at her. She's coming right along. And by God's grace, as we eat this word, we become this word, and we are going to eat ourselves right into that glorified body. Amen. It's changing. Look at the nutrients. You eat what you eat in this natural body, it keeps putting it out, putting it out. Your hair grows, your fingernails grow, everything. You get more minerals, fix your joints and all. It just keeps working. You keep taking this word in and watch what it's doing.
Yes.
Amen. With an open heart and praying and crying out to God. Push that ladder around a little bit farther and just see if you can climb a little higher to reach what's up there for us. And watch God just open up the book to us. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I pray you can take something from it. Amen. That's a stirring in my heart. We live beneath our privileges of what God has given us and what he's made us. Not for my glory, not for your glory to shine forth. Look what I can do. Look what the Spirit I got. Look how holy I... No. In humility and simplicity, thank you, Lord, for the promise you've given me, and I stand upon your word, Lord. And oh my, grant to me the revelation, the understanding I need for whatever needs laid in my life, not to trust my own instinct, not to try to figure it out and do it my way, but to wait on the Lord to open the door, and it'll work smoothly every time, no matter the circumstance. But remember, he knows exactly where you're standing. He sat here and he cried because he lost a friend. He sat here and he walked and he felt the pain. He felt all the same things. He was tempted in like manner as we was. He knows what you feel. He knows where you're standing. And don't ever forget, he's not out on a limb somewhere. He's only a whisper away. Amen. He's within you. And all you got to do is say, Lord, I need you. And he's on the scene. Don't ever forget that. Amen. If you'd stand with me, I'd like to just sing this little chorus in our little capstone book before our pastor comes. Amen. On page 63. I have never seen the
sea. The gates to that sea. Yes, amen. One day I will. One day I'm gonna walk on streets of pure gold.
Making that more real in our hearts. Amen. Where it's a real, true reality. As I mentioned this Sunday, as it was a reality to Abraham and all those other patriarchs, all those fathers of faith, when God revealed the word to them, they acted it out. They showed that something had been revealed to them. May we be the same way as we are nearing this great catching away. May it be a reality in our hearts. You know, even now as they, the talks are on the tables to say, knowing they're wanting to use nuclear arms to destroy. And they know as they talk, they know it will destroy civilization. Again, coming to the time, as the prophet said, he looked across and seen that vision, seen across this country, smoking, blown up. Destroyed. Think of that. And it's in the talks. What's in the talks, too, with us going home? Amen. Changing bodies in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. Oh, what a glorious time. Hallelujah.
us bow our heads. Kind Heavenly Father, we are so thankful. As Lord, we sing these verses in that little song. And Lord, thinking about how that you first begin to deal with our hearts. And oftentimes, Lord, as you do different things in our life, we didn't really even understand what was going on. But yet, Father, it was just like the prophet said, there was a deep calm to the deep. And if there's a deep calm to the deep, there has to be something to respond to that call. Oh, God, you're so thankful, Lord, that you put that little call on the inside, that drawing, that pulling, the reality. And, Lord, you give us very thing to let us know that we are predestinated seed, that we are sons and daughters of God, and we're coming to a time now, Lord, that we know it's coming to the end. And Father, as your word told us about the change in this body, and we cannot forget about it. It's just something, Lord, is stirring fresh in our hearts, constantly, Lord, knowing and not knowing what day it'll be, but could it be in the morning? Oh, God, just asking that you really deal with our hearts. Father, we should not have in our hearts, what are we going to do tomorrow? What are we going to, and have all these plans? There's nothing wrong with planning, but Lord, we must, Lord, be as the scripture says. But Father, we must, Lord, if it be the Lord's will, if you should tarry, oh, God, then we will do this. Then we will do that. But Father, I've got that in our hearts. If you should tarry, Lord, you may not. And you may not tarry tomorrow. We don't know that, Father. We may not live till tomorrow. We do not know these things, Father. So we want to live as if we're ready and be ready, Lord. And have our hearts centered on things above and not on things of this earth. Lord, help us to be in that condition. We thank you for the word tonight now, and we ask that you would just let it sink deep into our hearts and let it become reality. Bless our brother as he labored for it. May, Father, we be all blessed together with him now. Pray that you would just watch over us now again and keep us safe upon the highways. And again, Lord, bring us back the next appointed time if you should tarry. And Lord, may we come in thy will, Lord, we will be prayed up and seeking a closer walk with you. We ask this all now to your glory and honor, and that thy will be done in our lives. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you, Father. Let's sing one more little chorus before we leave. It was on my heart today, and I just want to sing it. I will praise him. Amen. Do you want us to praise him? I will praise him.
just my side.